Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. Maureen chats with a different guest each week about their sustainability activities and initiatives, from advice on tiny houses to rooftop gardens to wildlife-friendly farming practices. Maureen's guests are passionate individuals who are making a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Taste Nature.
Welcome to Eco Living in Action. Kia ora. I'm Maureen Howard, Eco Living Facilitator and Team Builder and host of this show. Now, if you head, like me, go down to the farmer's market in at the Otago Farmer's Market, you'll get a glimpse of how good society based around local food can be. And some years back now, however, when I was tutoring sustainable living courses, I had a surprising and a bit of a depressing statistic that here in New Zealand, which is so land rich that 70% of the processed food that we buy is imported and 60% of the total food we buy is imported. So that doesn't sound very sustainable or resilient to me. So it's great to hear that on Saturday, 24th of November, a day-long workshop has been held by Rubina McCurdy on local food resilience and what it might mean for Dunedin. So I'm going to be jumping back and forward in time a little bit because this show is being recorded on the 22nd of November and it's being aired with you on the 6th of December. Now, Rubina is based in Golden Bay and she's been engaged in community development, organic growing, permaculture design and tutoring on a global scale for the past 25 years. She's founder of the Institute of Earth Care Education Aotearoa, co-founder of Tui Land Trust and Community in Golden Bay, and she is pioneer of SEED, S-E-E-D, Schools Environmental Education and Development Program, which is based in South Africa and Brazil. Today's show is about local food resilience and in particular how we can assess and plan for our own household food security. So starting right in the home. And in today's show you'll hear more about this and Rubina's outcome aims for the local food resilience workshop held here in Dunedin. So welcome to the show, Rubina.
Kia ora. And it's great to be back in Dunedin after very, very many decades and to be talking to people around Otago about this very pivotal topic, especially since we drove through absolutely gale force winds and driving rain and got cut off from roads, and we are in climate change. We know it. And nothing more important than to be resilient with our food at a community level, eh?
Absolutely. I know. And so hopefully when people are listening to this that the sun is shining and the ground is dry again. So thank you so much for coming down. So is this the first time you've been back in Dunedin then for
as I said, many decades, and I live in Nelson Province and I work around the country, primarily in the North Island and around the world, you know, basically wherever the need is and wherever the organisers of an event call me, you could say.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, you have to keep moving. Mm-hmm. But and you have Tui, that's your home, isn't it?
Tui is my home base, and my main time there is the winter, autumn, because I'm working with the orchard group pruning our fruit trees and, you know, working on the land, and I couldn't do this work without having a home base and a garden and a community farm, and so that's my personal sustainability. And this particular theme really heightened for me when we did the localising food tour of New Zealand in 2012-13 and a bit of 14, when we were documenting remarkable, actually, local food initiatives around this country, and quiet, not blazing across the internet, just humble yet profound. And when you link it all together, we have this strong food resilience network, but unknown to each other often across this country. We have all the solutions here.
I know, that's so wonderful that you've been doing that, because it'll be so heartening for people, you know, who are doing these things, and then to know that they're one of many.
And the brilliant thing is that we toured with young videographers and we captured it on films. We have 250 stories that so far have been made into four documentaries, and one of them we're going to be showing in Waitati on Friday night. The Friday night is gone for our listeners. It's called Edible Paradise, Growing the Food for Forest Revolution. So actually these documentaries, you can go to our website, and I'll just say it now, www.localizingfood.com, www.localizingfood.com. You can watch all these little stories, not all of them, but some, and those films, download them and watch them at home, because everybody that's watched them got something out of them to make change in their own household, their own property.
Yes, yes. So that'll be our focus today. Before I go into that, so obviously local food production and resilience is very important for you. Like, what kind of inspiring little things are happening up where you are?
Well, I am really looking forward, first off, to finding out about Dunedin, because there are some very strong networks here, and probably one just needs to, you know, Google local food Dunedin and some of that will come up. So I feel a little bit embarrassed, you know, coming to here when a lot of it is already rolling, but I'm sure there's a lot more skills and details and tools that I can bring and will bring in the workshop to even make that more resilient and healthy. So in our area, we've had the privilege, I would say, of having the Taka. I live in Golden Bay. Taka Kahila is our only access in. It's about 2.5 hours drive from Nelson, and we've had the privilege of having the road closed back early this year in end of February through the end of Cyclone Gita. And so it was when hills, things were flooded, you know, a lot of the Takaka Hill, one side was dropped right down into the deep valley, and people couldn't get in and out. And what happened there was the whole barge that would just be used to cart cement and carts, you know, farming equipment and carts, you know, resources like sand and stuff across to Wellington for their, you know, for their use. That barge kicked into action and everything was transported by barge. The petrol pumps ran out of fuel, and so there was a curfew on petrol, and people had to basically see what they had in their garden, what they had in the stores, how could they be supported by their neighbours. We had just before that the Golden Bay Sustainability Forum the week after that it was. So it was absolutely real for us. Mm-hmm. And so anyhow, the supermarkets were, because usually there's just about 2 days worth of food in the supermarket before it gets stocked again by traveling, you know, big trucks with their coming from the warehouses. And so the supermarket was about 50% out of food. All the essential items were gone. The shelves were pretty empty. And so people took stock, actually. People woke up, because that stat about the food, you know, when you have communities like the West Coast, like Greymouth, Hokitika, when you have, you know, over the hill, over the big mountains like Golden Bay, we import more percentage than that stat. And so, you know, cut off, no food apart from what you've got in your garden. So it's a big wake up, and Golden Bay's gotten more reorganized around that now.
Right, wow. Mm. What an amazing story, you know. And yeah, it's something for us all to be thinking about. We've become so centralized that it's made us hugely dependent. And kind of resilience is about that. It's about decentralization, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's actually really important to take it the next step about seeds, because, you know, so 85% of our seeds are imported. They're owned by multinational corporations that also own the chemical and fertilizer companies. It's all tied into one woven kind of monopoly. And so local seed saving groups are really important. We have the Golden Bay Seed Savers. And that means growing seeds that are adapted to your local environment and passing them on. And, you know, what I say to home gardeners, actually, or even those who are just starting out, is what's your favourite vegetable? What's your very favourite, even variety? And become a specialist in that. Save the seeds, save the tubers, pass them on, study them, choose your best ones. You know, become the expert in that. And then, you know, we have a whole diversity of experts out there that that make our food resilience.
Absolutely. And it's something very manageable. You know, we can do it at that level.
Yeah.
Yeah. So coming, right? So that's the first thing that we can do in our household. But I really loved, because one aspect of the presentation or the workshop, that the day workshop that is being done on the 22nd or has been done, is looking at the household food security and forward planning tools. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Right. So I have mapped out 12 steps to community food security, community food resilience, community food sovereignty even, which is, you know, the whole full control of our food system, which is, you know, quite a big vision. But we can get there if we need to and we choose. So it starts off with, if you're a novice gardener, you've never gardened before, but you want to have a little garden, you know, start with like 1 2-meter by 1 2-meter raised bed garden, you know, just don't even need to, just it's a tiny corner of your lawn perhaps, and grow what you love to grow and grow what's easy and fast that gives you a good sense of, oh, I'm making progress here. I've planted these seedlings and seeds and look, I'm actually now putting this lettuce, these radishes, these tomatoes on my table. Wow, what is on our table? We've got like 20% of food from our little garden on our table. If you don't have a property, you're renting or you're mobile, start with container gardens. Even in a bucket, you can get 6 different species of vegetables, you know, if you're going with stacking like a, you know, an onion, a lettuce, a celery, you know, different, it's called interplanting and intercropping.
You can do it at that small scale because
totally.
You haven't got the weeds coming in.
There's no space for weeds. And if one comes in there, you're going to be easily managing that with your 2 fingers. So there's a variety. Like if you go to a recycling centre, there's a plethora of types of containers that you can get for free or next to nothing. And so, you know, those polystyrene or cardboard boxes even that are filled with a plastic liner so they don't disintegrate. You can start with anything that costs nothing. And about... then there's a whole thing about making your soil. You can probably start with a commercial seed raising or potting mix or that kind of thing. They're pretty cheap, about $10. But you can totally build your own soil through the sheet mulch garden method, and I'll just repeat that in a few different ways. Sometimes it's called lasagna garden. Sometimes it's called the Esther Dean method. Sometimes it's called the no-dig method. But look it up online, how to do that kind of like lazy person's garden, building up layer by layer that the soil just makes itself.
But would you get people, you know, to step back and think, you know, what are the kind of foods that I'm bringing into the house, and to do actually an assessment, like
right.
an audit of their eating patterns? Would you do that?
Yeah, that's a good idea. It's one thing you can do if you want to get yourself a shock, and if you want to get yourself a motivational kick, you could do that. It can come from any particular angle. It can come from analysis and like that curiosity, and you'll, especially if you look, okay, where does that food come from? And actually, who owns that company, or who has the control or monopoly over that particular food source? And, you know, even if you go further into perhaps social justice and, you know, who's actually sweating in the fields and what machinery and what is it, GE? And there's a whole lot of big questions that get you into political arena. But you don't have to go there if you're just wanting a nice sandwich. You just need to go to your little garden. And that sheet mulch garden I was talking about, you don't even need to have soil. You don't even need to have a fork. You can reclaim your lawn. There's a friend of mine in Whanganui who started what's called the Lawn Liberation Front. And basically a sheet mulch garden can go just down on the lawn, and over a season, particularly if it stays there in autumn, winter, then it'll just break down, you know, with layers of manure and straw and some topsoil and maybe some seaweed and maybe some food scraps. And, you know, these kind of layers, it's just like a sort of flat compost in a way. And starting your own compost is so powerful. You know, around the country and maybe here even, there was these programs, used to be called Create Your Own Eden, run by councils, and probably your Dunedin Council, because I understand your council's relatively enlightened. So your council probably is sponsoring one of these free workshops that you can go to, which is primarily about turning household food scraps into compost into gardening.
Yeah, we do. We've got a composting made easy. I think we've got our own local varieties that Michelle Ritchie, who's now Michelle Cox runs very well. So we do. We've got several things happening, and we've got a food resilience officer here at the DCC too. So it's all happening here.
It is the deep secrets of the deep south.
That's right.
And just to let you know that one of the main reasons I'm here is the deep secrets of the deep south is the primary purpose is to go to Riverton to help them set up the permaculture, which is sustainable land use design, and social design based on ecological principles. Permaculture, look up the word. So we're going to this permaculture gathering. We're going to help them set up, myself and my colleague on the Permaculture Council, Lily Starr. And in the first weekend of April next year, it's going to be that gathering. And it's for everybody. It's not that far. It's hop, skip and a jump from Dunedin down to Invercargill and Riverton, eh? And we're going to be having permaculture tours led by Jason Ross, who people probably know has, got the food forest and nursery out in Waitati there.
Habitate.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so he's putting together, meeting up with him and just checking out some of the properties around Dunedin that people are going to come and look at after that hui. And I should just give you the Permaculture New Zealand, look up Permaculture New Zealand website, because that will have all about this next year's hui on there. And it's just going to be such a rich experience of workshops and knowledge and connections, and it's straight after their famous Riverton Harvest Festival.
Yeah, there is a little convoy that goes down there, a bit of carpooling and goes down to that. And
so I want to go back to this household food resilience. So I just talked about the first step, just becoming passionate maybe about a particular crop or having your own small garden. So, get familiar with that over a season. Like, just don't bite off more than you can chew. Start small. Permaculture call it small scale intensive. And then observe. And one of the permaculture principles is observe and interact. The very first one, observe and interact. Just keep an eye on your garden. What's it doing? And get the joys of eating from it. The next thing is double the size or expand the size. Start small. And then at the same time, start reaching out. Who else in your street is gardening? Who else in your neighborhood is gardening? Start making contacts if you can, even over the back fence or whatever. What other courses are out there? WEA in Dunedin used to run some wonderful courses. I don't know if they still do. And again, it's in terms of education for sustainability, this is a relatively enlightened city, I understand. So there'll be courses out there, and you'll make contacts with other people. But the thing is, from there, is grow a little extra. When you're confident and you've had some resources and some education at your level, then simply produce a little more so that you can gift or trade or even sell at the farmer's market, but primarily at this stage is gifting or trading, and then get something back for it. So now you're at the same time as you're doing your own little part, you're also interconnecting with other food growers. So that's the food thing. Anyhow, there's 12 steps. The last step, it ends up because it starts also at a community organisation, which community organisations are up for this and have it as part of their kaupapa, as part of their purpose, this resilience thing, that they can start being more like a node or a information centre, an education place, a drop-off place. So that organisation gets strengthened as individual households start to do their own part and become more resilient, so they meet where the organization reaches out more into the community. And the organization, the community organization, is then a tremendous resource for them. And I just say the last part is a typical thing that can happen as you get down, out more and more of the confidence of these steps, and I'm not going into all of them, is people start often forming food buyers clubs or community supported agriculture groups to support a farmer with staple crops like meat or milk or grains or things that they can't grow themselves because their place in a city is too small, then collectively they support that farmer. And if you look it up, a CSA, Community Supported Agricultural Model, so that that actually gives more economic resilience to farmers around the area. So basically it's the rural-urban interface where, you know, we're interdependent.
Yeah.
So I'll just stop there and you can carry on.
Well, there's
sharing your wisdom or asking some more questions.
There is a lot there, but when you were talking about, you know, finding these community connection, you know, an organization, I was thinking we've got popping up all over Dunedin is these community gardens, and I've got one that's very, very close to my house, like a skip and a hop and a jump and away. And I think that could be a very good node, couldn't it? Because a place where we can come together and talk about what we're growing and seed sharing. And
it's absolutely essential. And, you know, I don't know about Dunedin. You might have more of an idea, but I know in Christchurch there's like 50 community gardens. In Wellington there's 50. In Auckland there's about 100. You know, and again, it's just like little known down the street. What is that? Oh, there's in that vacant section that once was a council sort of no person's land. There's food growing and it's a community garden. It's kind of happens like that. And it's usually the initiative of a person, you know, it's a person or a group that kickstarts it. And it's a wonderful social connection place. And it's a great place to seed swap and so on. So you need these notes, both the community organization that has facility, building, resources, computers, blah, 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 and then these actual physical living, growing nodes as well. So if you don't have one in your area, reach out to an area in Dunedin that has one and go and find out how did they start it. And actually on our website, I think we have a resource of how to start a community garden, or there's one coming up pretty soon. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it is. It makes a lot of sense because they're kind of neighbourhood based.
Yeah,
and so it kind of collects you. And the one that's near us, apparently the real estate agent they've been advertising it as a positive feature. Like move into this area, they've got a community garden.
And I'll tell you, it's actually true. So be cautious about that because suddenly your rates might be too much or something in a low income area. Because I used to work at Victory Community Gardens, which is a combination of a community garden and a school garden on the school grounds in Nelson, and exactly that happened, not just because of the community garden, but because that area we planted trees, and again this came from Riverton Open Orchards, it's such a good model, we planted trees along the Victory Walkway with the school, with members of the community, and so basically there's a map in Nelson of all the harvestable local tree crops, and so then this area became a really desirable area to live, and people, instead of such a transient population and the ex-state houses, people started wanting to stay. It wasn't just because
I've bought my house, Rabina, so it's okay. I'm happy for it to go up. I'm only teasing. But look, I want to jump on to, you know, what you hope to get out of this day-long workshop for Dunedin, and, you know, based on your previous experiences of what's happened around the country, like we've got a few minutes. What do you reckon?
So, one of the tools I use in the workshop, and we use all these different symbols, it's really exciting. We put a model out on the ground of the city and the wider environs and farms, and it's actually food resilience. The outcome of that is a local food directory or local food inventory of who's producing what, when, how they supply it and so on like that. And so that can happen out of a pooling of local knowledge through this particular tool. Another one is looking at what I call the food systems players around the area and the links they have or don't, and which organizations and businesses, if they had a common directive or a common purpose that we will try and kind of generalize here at the workshop, can actually build much stronger links for their marketing, for their clientele, for their image. This is about businesses, so it's absolutely of interest to businesses to do this in these times, to be seen green and seen progressive and sustainability. But also, you know, where are the weak links? Where is the severance? Where is the crisis or conflict that haven't been healed in the past between organizations and so on? And what moves can happen to move those organizations and places together, and often very disparate ones that you don't even think are connected. How could they be connected around food? So we have a tool that does that, and it always, in every workshop, has had a profound effect in the application within the community. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing.
Right. I'm going to have to stop you there.
Okay.
Because, and people, hopefully, if you've been listening to this, you'll be going, oh, I attended that workshop. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't attended it, then find out more. I'm sure we will. We have a local group here called Our Food Network. And check it out and look out for it on the online, and because you'll find out there is, you know, some of the outcomes of Robina's workshop. So Robina, now you have got things happening in Golden Bay all the time, don't you? And what have you got coming up for you that's after the 6th of December?
So because I'm land-based, and we have an outdoor education centre where I live, it's Tui Community. People might know about us through the Tui Balms Cooperative, whatever. So we have something called, it's not specifically permaculture or gardening, but it's definitely about people working for social change in the land, and it's called Empowered Activism, and that's coming, a course that's coming up in February.
Right.
We have in Golden Bay the Sustainable Living course, which is a 10 weeks intensive about permaculture and community gardening and stuff like that, food growing at the Golden Bay Community Gardens.
So there's lots happening, and I will have to cut you off, but thank you.
Yeah, just say Earth Care Education Aotearoa. Have a look at that website and you'll find some of our workshops.
That's great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So yeah, check out Robina McCurdy, Earth Care Education Aotearoa. And thank you so much, Robina, for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening. I'm Maureen Howard, and this is Eco Living in Action. And we'd love to hear from you again. We're supported by Taste Nature. Thank you for listening.
Taste Nature is Dunedin's organic food shop and eatery at 131 High Street. Open 7 days, Taste Nature carries a wide range of certified organic primary produce and whole foods. The eatery features seasonal organic fare made with the freshest ingredients. Want fresh organic produce and grocery items delivered direct to your door? Contact Taste Nature to try one of their popular organic produce boxes or personalised grocery orders. Good food, direct to you. Taste Nature, online at tastenature.co.nz.